If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I do this, you say, repent. Okay? Repent. All right, very good. No, when I do this, this is different. Either hand, okay? This is the season of Lent. This is that time of the year that we get real serious about our relationship with Jesus and about our lifestyle, about what we're doing, about the Word of God. Bad things happen to good people. That's a fact. We live in a broken world. We do. It's just because of sin, it is not the world that God created. Oh, and it just kills me when I am, you know, doing a funeral or just counseling somebody, and they say, "Well, you know, my loved one died. It must have been God's will. God needed them more than he needed me." And God doesn't want us to die. God doesn't want there to be disease and death and brokenness, murder and crime and wars. God doesn't want that. God allows it to happen because he's given us a free choice. And we make bad decisions, which hurt not only us, but hurts people around us. People get hurt, they get killed. We drink and we drive. People go off the deep end and shoot and kill other people and rob people. And we start wars and that. But God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He says, "I'm there to see you through it. Because this world's no longer your home." So it really breaks my heart when people say those things. It's not God that's doing it. It's just the brokenness of this world. That's why bad things happen to good people. Life is not always fair. You know. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Not only tomorrow is not promised, the next hour is not promised, the next minute, the next breath is not promised to anybody. We all live on the edge. We all live in our own end times, right? The sky is falling. In other words, the end is near. The end of the world, the Lord is going to return. And we talk about this a lot, right? Well, we look at the crazy unrest in our country and the crazy wars that are going on all over the world and these people who are they're not playing with a full deck and yet they have nuclear armament. It's just, the world's a mess. And then you look at the weather. You know, we're blessed with the weather we have in Western PA. But I've never heard of a what is it, a bomb cyclone? That was a new one on me. Bomb cyclone, and it's still the Midwest out there. They're getting pounded. Horrible winds and snow and floods and tractor-trailer trucks being blown off and flipped off the road. Tractor-trailer trucks. Trees, telephone poles, roofs, houses, people being killed. The weather's just out of control. It's just crazy. So I say the sky is falling. Not only that, but just the mere fact of all the accidents and murders and everything goes on around us. We all live in our own times. Well, Jesus, when Jesus started his public ministry, right? Jesus is baptized, and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness where for 40 days and nights he fasts and he prays. And the devil comes and tempts him, and he keeps saying, "Get away from me, it's written, it's written." He goes to the Word of God. And after that, he begins his public ministry. And he begins it by going around and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent was the first thing he said that we needed to do. And why do we need to repent? Because sin is like, excuse the analogy, but it's like a cancer, a tumor. And it is unhealthy for us. It blocks our relationship to God the Father. It blocks the flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Sin distracts us. It kills that relationship. And it's got to go. And God knows this. You know, Jesus says, repent. So we need to repent. I caught some sleeping. That's good. Good, Peggy. Was nice and loud. I wouldn't expect anything else. Okay. Okay, good. And we're to take it real serious. We can laugh and smile and have a good time with it. But we're talking about eternal consequences. We need to repent. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Jesus saw all that he had made. I mean, God saw all that he had made. And God said, "It is very good. No sin, no sickness, no disease, no murder, no war, nothing." But we sure messed that up, didn't we? Genesis 3, sin enters into the world. The serpent tempts Adam and Eve, who give in and sin. And then because of that, God curses that the ground and childbearing and kicks them out of the garden. And that's when the world gets broken. And we've paid the price ever since. But the good news is God loves us so much that he's offered us a way out of it. And that, of course, is through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and directs us in the way that we should live our lives. And the only thing blocking that is the sin in our lives. And every one of us is a sinner. If you say you're not a sinner, then you're full of pride. I'm telling you, we are all sinners. Right here. Man. Things I struggle with, stupid things. We're all sinners. In James chapter 4, the last verse says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that too is sin. So what we need to do is we need to repent big time. Because this world's not our home. Everybody lives forever. Those who don't believe in Jesus and those who believe in Jesus. What's the difference? Yep, heaven or hell. That's the difference. Your accommodations. Every one of us is going to die. It's appointed unto us once to die. But if we repent and ask Jesus into our hearts, we get to go to heaven. If we don't repent, and we get to go to hell. And God has given that freedom of choice. We just went over that in membership class this morning about how as Methodists we are Arminian. Jacob Arminius developed this theology that we adhere to, that we have a freedom of choice. We have the resistible grace of God. We can say no to God. You know, the Calvinists, Presbyterians, and Baptists, they believe that God's grace is irresistible, that they don't have a choice. God chooses some to go to heaven and chooses others to go to hell. We don't believe that. We believe that God, Jesus died for everybody, but only those who, only whosoever will believe in him are saved. So we all have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, to be intentional about your faith, like we told the kids, you got to be intentional about your faith. Do what the Bible says to do. Do your best to obey Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you, and it'll get easier and easier. But in order to be intentional about our faith, the first thing that we have to do is repent. Absolutely. We need to do some surgery, folks. We need to cut it out of our lives. We need to take a good look at our relationships, our bank accounts, our possessions, what we're doing in church, what we're doing with our neighbors and at work. What needs to go? If it's sin, it's got to go. If it's wrong, you got to get rid of it, because it's a cancer. It's eating your faith away, and it will result in death. We don't have a choice. It's one or the other. So choose you this day whom you will serve. And because it is Lent, we're really going to focus hard on repentance. That parable that Jesus told about the fig tree, the owner came. He said, I've been coming to this fig tree for 3 years. It hasn't borne any fruit. So cut it down. Who is the owner of the vineyard? God. And so he says, cut it down and get rid of it. It shouldn't use up the soil. And the caretaker says, well, let me dig around it and fertilize it for one more year. Who's the caretaker? Jesus is. Who's the fig tree? We are. We're the fig tree. So Jesus is going to dig around us. Dig. Separate us from stuff. That's why we repent. He's separating us from that stuff. Then he's going to fertilize us. And he's going to fertilize us with good things. And who is the one that introduces us to the good things? It's the Holy Spirit. So digging is the repentance. It's getting that junk out of our lives that's killing our relationship with God. We get it out of there, and then we fertilize it through being intentional about our faith walk, coming to church, studying the Bible, praying, hanging with other Christians, and about doing this. Repent. It's about repentance. And then we bear fruit. Because the word tells us that you and I were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we repent, and then we do good works. Whatever it is we feel God wants us to do, whatever it is the Bible tells us we should do. We don't do it to earn God's favor. God blesses us for being obedient, but we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. That's the unmerited grace of God. If you buy a car, what do you expect that car to do? To run, to take you places. And when it does it with wonderful performance, aren't you thrilled? You're happy. Good car. Yes. That's good. But it's only doing what you expected it to do, just as we should bear good works, because that's what we were created to do. So the first thing we do is repent. After the service, we're gonna sing now. After we sing, I am going to anoint anybody that wants anointed with ashes. We did it Ash Wednesday service. But in light of the need for repentance in our lives, as a reminder to other people and to ourselves that we are only dust and unto dust we shall return, as a reminder to repent and believe in the gospel. If you want to, you can come down front. I won't greet after the service today, but come down front and I will give you the mark of the ashes, the sign of the cross on your forehead. God loves you, and so do I.